on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
And it is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, an even better day to be Mark Cabali or Chris Mack, because here we are at the start of a new week with rookie minicamp behind us, OTAs on the way, Aaron Rodgers wants to golf, all kinds of stuff going on. And it's going to be like 80 and sunny today, too, for those of you that are with us in Western PA. Welcome into Cabali and Mack, episode number 52. Good Lord. All because of wonderful people like you who continue to watch and support the show. We thank you. You're all excellent. We appreciate it very much. And because of our presenting sponsors, all of our sponsors, but we're presented by the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. The whole team is ready to help yinz out regardless of what you're looking for. Starter home, forever home, transition home, something in between. Any of it, they're here to help. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team waiting to talk to you at heckteamhomes.com. The key to your next door. Again, I am Chris Mack. He is Mark Cabali. It was Mother's Day weekend, Kaboom. Was it a good one for you? What did you do for your wife for Mother's Day?
I went shopping at Aldi.
Okay.
We have plans.
Part of your regular chores anyway.
Yeah, I was planning on going up to see our buddy Benny Business.
Oh, at Yoli's.
But apparently they were only open 10 to 2 yesterday for brunch, so that got snipped. So it's going to have to be put on delay.
Ooh. My wife, who is excellent, never asked me to cook dinner, or rather knows that I'm never going to cook dinner because I'm terrible at cooking. But the one day a year I make dinner is Mother's Day, and so I made a nice homemade Alfredo sauce. The boy helped me out in the kitchen, acted like a little sous chef. He put together a Caesar salad on the side, fettuccine came out of a box, but homemade sauce, the garlic bread, the works, made dinner last night. And now I'm out of the kitchen for another year.
You didn't throw any chicken in there?
Grilled some chicken up. Yep. Grill the chicken up. You can put it on the salad. If you put the chicken on the side, and then you can put the chicken on your salad. You can put it on your pasta. You can put it everywhere if you want. But yeah.
No. Who cleaned up the dishes after?
Me. I'm always the dishes guy.
In the dishwasher, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, there was a lot of stuff that had to be washed by hand. Big pots for the pasta, you know, for the sauce and all that. So, I did the dishes.
I get this. I fill up the dishwasher, and I leave it there until it gets filled up. And right before it gets to go, wife comes and
rearranges it because you don't know what the hell you're doing.
So I just throw stuff in there now because I know it's going to get rearranged. I know it's going to get rearranged.
Why you got to be like that? Do your best.
I mean, I don't know.
With the forks, where the forks go, face the dishes the right way.
I do that, but it has to be certain ways.
No plastic on the bottom rack so it doesn't melt. Come on.
You ever have something fall through? It was like one of those Stanley straws the other day. It would look like
all crumpled up, melted. The worst dishwasher thing is when you go to reach in for the silverware and you're not totally looking or paying attention because you're doing something else and you get the fork right underneath the fingernail. Bang! There's no pain quite like the fork prong underneath the fingernail.
I'm sure there's worse pain.
Probably. I don't know. I've never blown both Achilles, so I wouldn't know. Is that particularly painful when it happens, or is it more just startling?
Depends on who it is. To me, there wasn't any pain. Let me think where the pain comes. The pain comes my knee killing me right now. I got the end of the month for the
little PRP.
No, those don't work. That didn't work. The gel shots don't work. The straight old cortisone works for about 3 months, but this one was a little bit quicker, so I had to deal with it. I'm only allowed to have it every 3 months.
Why?
I don't know. It's insurance? Just a rule. No, not insurance. I guess it's not good for you.
They don't want you to get too strong. That's what it is. They're afraid. They're afraid.
What's the worst thing that happened, right? My knee hurts or tears up. I mean, so I'm scared.
They don't want you in the gym back squatting like 650.
It's amazing. It's like I can't even walk. I get that sucker shot up within a day and a half, man. I'm feeling like a million bucks.
How long until it wears off? Like 2-3 weeks?
Anywhere between 2 to 3 months.
Oh, okay. So if you didn't get it, you'd be screwed.
Like basically right now, I can't get up from a couch.
Jesus. Somebody take care of this man for me, please. We got a lot to talk about. George Pickens, did he flame the Steelers on his way out, or did the Steelers flame him? Will Howard, that golden-tongued, I was going to say raven-haired. He's not. He's more like a light brown, blonde-haired dude. He knows just what to say, and Steeler fans are going to love him even more after how he spoke on Friday afternoon during rookie minicamp. They kept somebody around from that minicamp as far as a tryout situation goes over the weekend. So plenty of Steelers stuff to talk about. Plus, it was WWE backlash, and our buddy Pat McAfee got the hell chopped out of him by Gunther, and there was some other stuff that happened too, a world heavyweight title match and all that great stuff. So we'll get into and a legend, Caboli, passed away over the weekend. A wrestling legend. You don't know. You haven't heard
Sabu.
This yet.
Sabu.
Sabu, you know. Yeah, ECW.
I wasn't much of an ECW guy, so.
Oh, man. Guys like him, RVD, just as much a reason that ECW was as popular as it was, as characters like Sandman and Heyman and Taz. And he was amazing, Sabu. And I just found, like, the epilogue page. Somebody posted it on social media. It could be fake. Who knows? But, like, the acknowledgement page in his biography reads like an angry Facebook post. I might have to just read it later on. But we'll get to all that. Don't forget, we are at 1,291 phenomenal subscribers on the Caboli and Mac YouTube channel. If you are one of the next 209 getting us to 1,500 subscribers on YouTube, you're going to have a chance to win an autographed Penn State Pat Freiermuth football helmet. It's gorgeous, and it's autographed by Muth himself, and you would love to have it. Whether you're a Penn State fan or not, I got to think, if you're just a football fan in general, you'd love to have it. If you're a Pitt fan, you know what? You probably take that, and you find one of your Penn State friends or relatives, and you sell it to them at an upcharge. Go for it. Why not? You do whatever you want to do with it once you win it, but you got to be one of the first 1,500 subscribers to Caboli and Mac on YouTube. Go do that right now if you haven't subscribed already. You'll get notified whenever we go live every day, which we'll do 2 more times this week, Kaboom. Tomorrow, we are going to do our official schedule predictions, correct?
I guess.
Well, you talked it up last week, and you made it a big deal that we got to do homework for that show.
Yeah, I'm not much into homework, but I guess I can.
Well, we know the Cowboys and Eagles are going to play in the lid lifter, as they call it.
They weren't going to play either of those anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Right, but, you know, other things I think will probably bubble to the surface in the next 24 hours that may give us an inkling or two, who knows, as to how the Steelers schedule will shake out. But you're very good at predicting these things. So we're going to do it live tomorrow. Don't forget, if you're watching live on X or Facebook or Instagram or wherever you're watching live on YouTube, you can always go back and watch whatever you missed on the YouTube feed at Caboli and Mac. Thanks to all of our wonderful sponsors, including Southwest Greens. Had the boy cut the entire lawn today, or not today, Saturday, Kaboom. 12 years old, he did the front and the back. Without any complaints, and just like 3 breaks for water.
How about that? Yeah. I forget what day I cut it.
Why'd you have to add your handle?
I just wanted to see if I could do it or not.
Yeah, you can do it. You want it like that all the time? It takes up a lot of room on the screen.
Well, maybe Rick Barry in the comments didn't spell my name correctly when I was 2 inches away from him. Maybe he was just watching. Kind of funny.
I see people complain about the way. Well, first of all, I mentioned the kid cutting the lawn because he wouldn't have had to do it at all if we had Southwest Greens. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Get a beautiful artificial lawn. It's the best looking lawn in the neighborhood. It's no maintenance. You're not out there cutting it. You're not out there watering it. You're not out there fertilizing it. All that stuff. You don't have to do any of it because it's the best looking lawn in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance in the neighborhood. You want to have them come out and tell you what they can do for you? Go to SouthwestGreensPA.com. Tell Jake that Kabali and Mac sent you. It's Kabali. It's Kabali, says Rick. That's the way it's pronounced. But everybody loves
Rick Barry.
Everybody loves to give you the Kabali too.
Whatever.
You don't care, do you? You literally do not care the way your name is pronounced.
Well, it's not like anybody's going to listen.
Yeah, they would.
No.
I've had people who have found us on the found the show, right? And they've maybe they live outside of Pittsburgh, and they just know you from McAfee's show, right? And they look and they go, why does he keep saying Kabali? What's up with that? And it's like, well, that's his name, guys. That's his name. It's Kabali. It's not Kabali, and you're not the OTC.
The original OTC, baby.
The original OTC. You know what? I even OOTC.
I think I phonetically spelled it on my Twitter account too. But
yes, you do. KUH hyphen all caps BALL hyphen lowercase EE.
Kabali. My uncle gets all fired up about that. The first time I was on Pat's show, he was like tweeting him and stuff. I'm like, dude.
You just let Pat do whatever, right? Because he's the boss.
Oh, you're mispronouncing my name.
You know who else says it wrong all the time? Our good buddy up the hill from here, Vickers. Tim Vickers, TJ High School baseball coach.
Legend.
Always says
game on Wednesday, by the way. Playoff game, I believe.
Yeah? I didn't see the brackets come out. I know you were waiting with bated breath on Friday afternoon to see what the whippy old high school playoff brackets would look like.
I think you play Wednesday at 7 o'clock, I want to say. At West Mifflin High School.
Ooh, that's a nice complex they got up there.
They just redid it all again. It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. I don't know why we don't have that in TJ.
Yeah, you know exactly why they don't have it in TJ.
Tell me.
Well, have you seen the what the plans are over the next couple of years to do to that stadium, the football stadium?
No, what we got to add more seats?
No, they're going to renovate the whole thing, I believe.
Seriously?
I think it's on the
what's wrong with it? Right? What's wrong with it?
It's 25 years old, I think.
I know, but what's wrong with it?
Because they got so much room now since they tore down the high school.
Right. So why not put some nice ball fields up there?
I hear you, man. The ball fields in this area, the football fields are awful, disgusting. Although they got a nice basketball, outdoor basketball hoop down by where you are. Some lights at the old
Gill Hall Park.
Yeah.
The locals call that the GBU, I've been told, because it used to – I don't know. I just call it –
Apparently they're going to do a lot of work on that here coming up, I believe, because it is a cow pasture everywhere else. But we do need to push the baseball a little bit more, right?
Push the baseball a little bit. Yeah, no, I mean,
give them some options.
Just get us better fields for all sports. How about that? How about all-season fields for all sports? There's a crazy thought. I don't know.
Turf, maybe a
call up Chirpet, get things done. So this is something I think is worth talking about. I don't know. Let's start with the George Pickens side of things, because the George Pickens side of things. Well, I want to throw up what some people are claiming to be a George Pickens comment on an Instagram video that was out there. And let's see if I can get that to come up. There it is. So George, there was a show, and I didn't see who the show was from, but Peyton Wilson and Beanie Bishop were on it. It was a podcast. And they were talking about different offseason stuff going on, about how they find out about different things via the media, right? And they both found out about the George Pickens trade via the media. And then all of a sudden, there was this response on the Instagram feed that was carrying this podcast. Or was there? Because it's not there anymore. They, the cheapest organization, again, this could be a Photoshop, it could be fake, we're not sure. It could have been George Pickens who then deleted it. They, the cheapest organization, ain't no stacking year after year. They gonna let them go too soon as it's time. LMAO, laughy face, laughy face. So George Pickens then posted yesterday that he was on a plane, didn't even have service, and people are posting fake things. So here's the thing. Whether George Pickens actually posted that or not, I don't get the sense that he's especially torn up about leaving Pittsburgh for Dallas.
I mean, I think people in the comments and or would be more intelligent to real understand or tell us if something like that can be faked. And can that somehow be like
very easy
photoshopped and cut and paste and blah, blah, blah?
I'm sure it can.
I mean, and our guy, Relax Styles, who's missing in action right now.
Yeah, I reached out to him the other day.
Would that be able to put that up in about 1 second? So I was looking for, when I saw that, I'm like, wait a second. First thing I always say is this fake? I mean, everything I see.
Everything. Twitter, that's fake. The first question.
So you have to go look on everything. I couldn't find anything. So I'm like, I'm not going to make a smart aleck comment because I don't know if it's just true or not.
Right.
I don't know. Do you think? I mean,
so
he hasn't said anything yet. He hasn't said anything. He doesn't really participate in his IG stuff a lot. And all of a sudden, he's going on the Beanie Bishop Peyton Wilson podcast and leaving a comment. It just seems weird to me that that really was happened. That happened.
Yeah, it seems odd to me too, but whether he actually did it or not, I think the fact that people would believe that he would do it says a lot, right, about the perception of George Pickens and how he handled himself while he was here. And look, I was never of the thought, the perspective that what he did in the locker room and how he talked to the media and how he handled himself was really ever a distraction. You've got some really good leaders in that room, Cam Hayward at the top of the list, and some other people who all that stuff is just, it's a cliche, but it's just noise, right? They don't even care if George is being mean to Alan Saunders or whatever might be happening during a media availability. And so I don't think, there are people talking about he was going to poison the locker room. I still don't buy that. George Pickens is, I don't think, was one guy was going to be enough to poison the locker room. But it sounds like, at least according to some people who are in the building down on the south side at old 3400 South Water Street, that they're not necessarily torn up about George being dealt.
Oh, I mean, what I was told was, some high-profile people on that team they tapped out. They were done with him. They were tired of the antics. They were tired of his tardiness. They were tired of speaking for him. Now, I don't know if it went to the point where they went to Mike Tomlin and said, get rid of this guy. But when you have high-level people in that locker room saying, it might be time to go. Now it puts a lot of things in perspective. I mean, I said the other day, there's a lot of things of we don't know about behind the scenes were significant. And I mean, I know stuff for a fact of him obviously being late to games, being late to planes. I know he would attend the when they would go on team buses from the hotel to the stadium. There'd be like four or five different buses in two different times. Mm-hmm. There's the last bus is always like sponsors, not TV people. There are social media people and stuff like that. And George Pickens. So when you look at that and you combine that with there wasn't many people knocking on the door of saying, we want this guy. They are fortunate to get a third-round pick for him, and they just thought eventually that it was just going to not be a good scene if they brought him back. And once they got that third, I think it obviously came after the draft. I think they negotiated a third when Dallas gave him a call. And as soon as he said third round, they're like, okay, everything, let's do it. And the bottom line is there were some key people in that locker room that were done with him. They were tired of it.
Yeah. So there's a number of things to break down there. One is the fact that there were people in the room that had at least now we're saying they had reached a breaking point, right? Like they were not looking forward, I guess, is probably the best way to put it. They weren't looking forward to putting up with it for another year, in a year where if the contract was going to be part of the issue and he wanted to get paid. Now it sounds like the year in Dallas, he doesn't necessarily need to get a contract taken care of, and he'll play out the final year of the deal and go hit free agency. But had it become an issue here, then I'm sure that kind of behavior, it wouldn't have gotten any better, right? We could have been talking about a holdout, a hold in, something like that. And it sounds like some players, I don't know, when you pile that on top of, like, they're fine. They're not telling other dudes they can't get their money, but hey, when you pile it on top of everything else that came with George, that they weren't necessarily excited about spending another summer and fall with him.
Yeah. I mean, you even look at stuff on the field, some of the taking routes off, not blocking for Jaylen Warren, having his teammates needed to speak for him in the locker room. Those are a couple of things right there that they just, they're tired of it, over it, didn't want it to do. And I don't know how receptive George was to some of his teammates reaching out to him. He might have left him on red, so to speak.
Wow. It's no, like you said the other day, it's no coincidence that when Aaron Rodgers went to go throw with somebody back in April, it was with DK Metcalf.
And hey, saying this though,
not with George.
If they don't get a third round pick, guess who's still on the roster?
George Pickens.
Yeah.
Which that tells me the Cowboys had to be the only team that came calling with the third round pick.
I don't even think they originally came with a third. They're like, we're not going to do this. I think Jerry might have put his foot up in his mouth saying, Jones, I guarantee that we're going to make a move. No, man, I can't look like a dope. So,
well, he went an entire offseason last year saying they were going to do something and they did nothing. So I don't think looking like a dope necessarily bothers Jerry Jones. You know what I mean?
You know, I just got a sense on Friday when I was at the Steelers that nobody was too broken up over him getting traded. And that goes from top to bottom.
But I don't know. Like, that locker room, again, I can't see one guy in Pickens' case, him being the one guy, turning that into a toxic environment. I just can't. Like, he may be toxic, but I don't think it would be enough to turn the rest of the room.
I'm sure there are some guys who are fine with him, but just not the right guys. And they feel like, you can't win. You can't win like that. I mean, if you have this guy who at any point might be able to pop off, they just feel that it was time. And I think they might – I don't know this. I'm just assuming that they went to – or they were asked about him by Tomlin, Khan, whoever it is, and they're like, hey, this is how it is, man. This is not going to work. And they moved on from then. I mean
– well, we'll see how it works out in Dallas.
It's just a sad state of affairs when you got another highly talented player just not being able to work it out here. But hey, not only is people weren't interested in him now, there was, a dozen teams that weren't interested in him coming out of Georgia that crossed him off the old list. So right. You do that, then who would want him? I mean, the pool to grab from was almost minuscule.
So I don't know who to credit with this line, but I had someone text it to me this morning. Our old friend Josh Taylor from KDKA texted me that he heard this line somewhere.
King of the
King of the Pocket Square, yes. That he heard this line somewhere. Dallas broke the golden rule. Never buy a receiver Mike Tomlin is selling. And, I mean, that's which receiver who has left the Pittsburgh Steelers over the last 7-8 years has gone on to do better after they left Pittsburgh? You can't find one, I don't think. I mean, Juju got a ring, but he wasn't exactly an integral piece to things in Kansas City. So maybe you could say Juju. But other than that, has anybody gone on to greater heights after?
Yeah.
I mean, AB had his year in Tampa, right?
I think Emmanuel Sanders' numbers increased.
Okay. Okay. There you go. That's more than 8 years ago, I think. But yeah, that's a good example.
James other Washington, than that, no. Claypool, no.
Yeah.
I mean,
Martavis' right. career basically ended.
Well, Martavis, he just was a couple, he was 8 to 10 years too early with his career. He'd still be playing, maybe.
Yeah, you're probably right. They wouldn't care. It'd be legal. Legalizing
money. Yeah, Emmanuel Sanders played with a pretty good quarterback, so that didn't help or hurt either.
No, but that is a good exception to the rule, though. And again, we're talking more than 7-8 years ago, but okay. There's your one exception to the rule. Emmanuel Sanders went on to have a really solid career after the Steelers than with the Steelers. So that's fair. I'll take that as an exception.
We're being very specific here. I mean, is there any teams around the league that dumps wide receivers and they provide better somewhere else? I'm sure there is. They don't jump out to me. I guess AJ Brown, right?
Yeah. AJ Brown's a good example of one who did go on.
I'm sure there's some, but that just may be the way of the position. You
know? It may be.
Tristan Kirk went from Arizona to Jacksonville, and I wouldn't say that he had a better career at Jacksonville. Maybe DeAndre Hopkins, maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah, there's again, you're probably right. There are exceptions to the rule, like Emmanuel Sanders, who was brought up. But for the most part,
Devontae Adams, where's his numbers gone since?
I think Adams is going to have a monster year this year, though.
Good.
You don't think? Working across from Puka Nacua and Matt Stafford still got a few bullets left in the gun.
He could, but I'm just saying, since now, I'm sure his numbers aren't as good as they were in Green Bay, I mean, in Vegas, and they were in Green Bay or in the Jets.
Well, he didn't have a quarterback in Vegas. I mean,
maybe that's
of which, Derek Carr retired over the weekend. You think that affects Rodgers at all? No. Yeah. Saints are going to go forward with the young guys.
Yeah. They got what? Shuck and
Rattler and some other dude as a third quarterback.
That team's destined to suck.
I mean, you think about it, it kind of all lines up really well for them. If they suck for a year and end up in the top three and Arch Manning gets to come play for the team his granddaddy did, I mean, that might work out really well for them. Could. As long as they don't get overcommitted to Shuck. Now, who knows? Maybe Tyler Shuck takes over and fools all of us, but I'm not holding my breath.
Wasn't Quinn Ewers at this point last year considered a can't-miss top pick? He got drafted in the seventh round a year later. So you can't count on that.
No.
Maybe Birch isn't the guy.
Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. He's made 2 starts, I think. So that's a really good point, too. I don't know. It's a really convenient, I guess, mutual parting of the ways for Pickens and the Steelers. I think for the Steelers, yeah, it leaves the wide receiver room shorthanded right now. And we all had, like we talked about the other day, sort of a 2-month pipe dream of, oh, what could it be with Metcalf and Pickens? And reality comes back and it's Metcalf and Muth and a bunch of dudes. So
you better add some dudes, right?
They've got to add another dude, I would think.
They should.
And in Dallas, it's 1 year where Pickens will get to prove whether he's actually close to being a wide receiver one or not. And if he can do it without being a head case, we'll see.
Two things are going to happen in Dallas. He's going to have a couple big games, and the Steelers apologist will say, "Sir, I never traded him." Should have signed him. And number two is he's going to blow up on, I don't know who first. I don't know if I'm going Schottenheimer first, Dak second, maybe Jerry Jones sends something during his radio show or Micah Parsons on his podcast. Right now, leader in the clubhouse, I says it'll be a Dak blow up first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'll get pissed at Dak first. Dak will throw the ball in a spot where George isn't, or you know somebody will misunderstand something, and he'll spike. Or like I said last week, CD will have six catches for 85 yards and a touchdown in the first half, and George will pout and won't run a route at full speed the entire third quarter and be on the bench in the fourth quarter.
The only saving grace there is he knows he needs to do work to get paid.
That's the one thing is that might, you know, that's the one thing that could contribute to Pickens actually having a good year while staying out of any kind of issues is he knows this is the one. Go get paid this offseason, and then next year, assuming he does get paid, we'll see what George is really going to act like wherever he ends up, wherever it may be. That'll be the real George Pickens. Mother's Day has come and gone. Hopefully you took care of mom, but there are other ladies in your life who need to be taken care of. That's why there's Nail Studio 2 in McMurray Peters Township right there at Donaldson's Crossroads. Go visit them at nailstudio2.com, Nail Studio, Roman numeral 2.com. You can give them a call as well at 724-941-4595. You know what they have up? You haven't been there yet, have you? You got to go buy some gift cards.
I don't leave the house very much.
I know you don't. You got to get out there because they've got artwork from our guy Cody all over the walls in that place. Yeah, so classy joint and fantastic nail technicians who, I don't know, there's graduation season coming up. There's proms. If you're like me and you got a teenage daughter who just got asked to the prom yesterday, they got to get their nails done. You want to get it done at a place that's great and inexpensive, and you can count on the work being awesome. Lily, Summer, Selena, some of the best nail techs in the area, and they're looking for more too. So if you know someone who's a nail technician looking for a gig, nailstudio2.com. And again, this is the time of year where you got to take care of the ladies in your life. Nail Studio 2 in Donaldson's Crossroads out there in McMurray Peters Township area. Nail Studio, Roman numeral 2.com, 724-941-4595. We thank them for being a sponsor of Cabali and Mac. So this guy,
by the way, you just slid that in there, by the way.
What?
Your daughter got asked to the prom. Weren't you like buying prom dresses for the past month?
Well, she knew she was going. So this is, let me explain the ridiculousness of this crap to you, okay? This generation does something they call a promposal. Have you seen these on social media?
I never went to the prom, so, and I don't follow any teenagers, so no.
Okay. So the guys have to ask the girls officially to the prom. And that used to be back when we were in high school. I'd literally walk up to a girl in the hallway if I didn't have a girlfriend at the time and be like, hey, you got a date for the prom?
No.
You want to go with me?
Okay.
Bang. Done. It's everything else is taken care of from there. Now they got to make a big sign on a poster board and that it's got to have like a theme to it. It's got to be all this cutesy stuff, and they got to come to the door and give like an official will you go to prom with me thing, and then you got to take pictures and they get posted on social media and all this crap. That's what has happened to this generation. So that officially happened yesterday. She knew she was going to the prom for a while with her boyfriend, but he officially did the promposal crap, which just she wasn't excited about because she's not into all that, but she was, you know, flattered that he, you know, put in the effort, I guess.
Promposal.
Promposal.
I'm surprised they just didn't text them.
What?
Isn't that what they do right now? Just text people stuff?
No.
You know, how easy it must be to be a teenager now. You know, just text a girl, hey, how you doing? Want to go out? Not like our days where you had to go through the yellow pages or the
phone yellow book. Pages. What kind of girl were you calling?
The phone book. You go through the phone book. I think they live here. Let me give the call. You call and it rings once. Like, oh, hurry up and hang up.
Oh yeah, if a dad answers the phone, you're hanging up every time. You're hanging out every time.
Back. I mean, they got it easy nowadays.
They do. I mean, I used to. So, old man story time for just a second. We didn't have a cordless phone. That's how poor we were. So I would, when we only had one phone, even though we had a phone jack in the living room and then one in the kitchen, I would unplug the whole damn phone and take it back to the kitchen and plug it in there so that I could call a girl without my mom sitting there listening while I was on the phone. I didn't want anybody listening in.
I mean, what phone's like $5? Can you just go out and get something?
Oh, yeah. Tickets to the prom at Baldwin.
No, I said a phone. Wasn't a phone like $5? Just go buy another one.
We were poor.
$5?
We didn't live in a fancy part of Baldwin. We lived in North Baldwin, Churchview Avenue.
Couldn't have, like, the grandparents give you one that they weren't using, the rotary phone?
I don't know. I didn't ask questions, Kaboom. All I knew was we had one phone. And I would unplug the damn thing and take it down the hall into the kitchen and plug it in there.
It must have really caused, it really must cause problems when you had the old dial-up internet.
We didn't even have internet when I was in high school. There was no internet when we were. I used the computer lab at school in the library.
And somebody picked up the phone.
All that noise? No way. So this guy knows exactly, I think, what Steeler fans want to hear. And he only spoke very briefly on Friday, but Steeler fans are going to love it. Steeler fans are going to love Will Howard.
You know, the culture, you know, it just fits. I feel like who I am as a person and who I am as a player. You know, it's close to home. I got a lot of connections to Pittsburgh. Coach T, you know, I wanted to play for him. You know, Arthur and Coach Arth, I knew Coach Arth. You know, he recruited me at Akron. And one of his players from John Carroll coached me at Ohio State last year, so I got a lot of connections with him. And it's just everything kind of fell into place, you know. And as the draft went on, you know, you never know where you're going to end up, but you keep a little spot in your heart for where you really want to go. And I had a little soft spot for Pittsburgh.
He had a little soft spot for Pittsburgh. He even touches the heart there. Kaboom. This guy knows exactly what to say.
He's going
to
give Richie Walsh a run for his money with that hair.
Yeah. Well, that was Richie that asked that question, I think. Why is Pittsburgh's why are the Steelers a perfect landing spot for you or something like that?
Permanis. I wanted to ask him what kind of Permanis sandwiches he ate, and was it, you know,
why does it always come back to sandwiches?
No, because you know what? Because it's like, oh, I love Permanis. And I'm like, do you really? Or did you eat and say, this is what I would like? I mean, this is what this is all about, Pittsburgh, this sandwich? Right? I mean, you have to have some alcohol in you.
No, you don't. Permanis is a good sandwich without, you don't have to be drunk to enjoy a Permanis sandwich. What are you doing alienating sponsors before we've even had a chance to attract them to the show?
They go there all the time. I'm just saying outsiders. We're probably saying, what is this?
He's from out near Philly, but I mean, he had to know what a Permanis sandwich was before he got here this weekend. Well, I mean, he had one at some point.
He's running the city like he owns it now. He's going pirate game. He's going strip. He's going Permanis. He's going Big Ben's podcast.
Got to get him on here. What's happening? Come on. What's slowing this down?
We're only allowed to talk to him for 3 minutes. Maybe that was it.
Ooh. Yeah. So you didn't really get to watch these guys work as much as you would have liked. Limited availability to watch them during a walkthrough.
45 minutes through a walkthrough. Right? Never had a helmet. Never threw a ball. Did some drills and see you later. Talked to him for 5 minutes and he got to go. What?
You guys used to be able to watch so much more of practice than you.
Go figure.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Nothing. So whoever looked good out there, you're reading people's tweets, are lying.
Liars. Liabetics.
You saw nothing. I saw the running backs go through some Eddie Faulkner drills. And
I saw you post some of that.
Good to me, man. Well, what the hell? They're on their knees trying to like pick up blocks. So great.
I saw that. I didn't. That one didn't quite connect with me. Like, I'm not.
You know what? He explained the whole thing right before that to him. I should have taped that.
What's the concept? So, for those that have no idea what we're talking about, Kaboom posted a video on Friday afternoon of the one running back, and Eddie Faulkner, the running back's coach, as Kaboom has said, likes to come up with Eddie Faulkner drills. They're different, man. I mean, you see all kinds of stuff. But he came up with this drill where the guys are basically on their knees and the heavy bag swings at them and they got to block it like they're in, you know, picking up a blitz in pass pro. And so the guys are doing it from their knees, though. So they got to kind of launch themselves at the bag from their knees. What was the reasoning for that?
I think
that?
A lot of it was hand placement and elbow placement. Oh, a lot of people would want to go outside and he wanted them inside. So I think it was more he explained it a lot. I mean, a lot of running backs don't appreciate those drills. I remember Benny Snell, not a big fan of the Eddie Faulkner drills.
Well,
I think they're tremendous. That's some of the funnest things I've ever get to watch. Like, what's he got now?
Well, yeah, I mean, he'll have the ones where, you know, they've got like tackling dummies or guys coming at you with tackling dummies from different directions. He's got the one where they have to decide where to make the jump cut at just the right time based on who jumps into
each other.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. You should do that thing where, I don't know what it is online now. It was that Caitlin Clark I saw do it, and they hold that thing up and like little like rubber things fall. You got to grab them.
Oh, really?
You ever see that?
Yeah. Do they have like the light up wall where you got to react to the button?
Oh, that's inside they do. But I think they do that more for concussion and try to set a baseline for their.
It's part of the.
I don't know. Maybe it's both. I'm not quite sure. Last year they did different stuff of testing out hamstrings too, where they would lean forward and try to, you know, hold themselves up. I thought it was like core muscle thing, but apparently it was hamstrings. You see how well that worked last year.
Yeah, let's not do that too early on this year. Let's not mess
up. I was weed whacking yesterday and my thing broke.
Could you be more specific, please?
Well, the wire.
First you're calling the yellow pages for prom dates and now your thing's broke. What's going on?
Whatever you call it. What do you call it?
The wire?
The trimmer.
The trimmer
wire.
It
was still spinning, so I went to grab it, and it's like, I whacked myself.
Well, don't grab it while it's moving. I'm nuts.
Well, how else was I going to get it to stop?
Let go of the trigger so the thing stops.
I did, but it was still going fast.
Let it slow down.
It wasn't going to because it had some high RPMs going on, so I had no choice.
Then you like push it down
was
into,
hurt
the ground, into the concrete to stop it.
It got me. Well, I didn't want to break more of the trigger.
What the hell does this have to do with Will Howard or Trace Harper?
I just went like this, and I saw it on my hand. I'm like, what is that? I'm like, oh, I whacked myself.
You know, they talk a lot about how younger generations have a shortened attention span from the overuse of social media. I don't think it's just the younger generations. I think some of us, like you, are falling victim to it just as much as anybody else.
I can only so many times as much I can talk about Will Howard taking 5 foot drop.
Well, I was about to transition into a question about the running back since you brought him up, since Trey Sermon signed. But there you go. You got us there the hard way.
All right, Trey Sermon. He's here. You don't normally, when they bring veterans into rookie camp as tryouts, they'll sign them. They've done it with Trey Turner, they've done it with Melvin Ingram. So you pretty much know when they bring a veteran in like that, that was going to happen. I'm sure that we will be hearing soon that one Cordarrelle Patterson's out the door, if he hasn't been told that already.
Wow.
I mean, where's he going?
Well, he would be the logical one out the door as well. I agree. I
mean, there's no place for him. You got two guys who return kicks now in punts. You got the number three running back, so to speak. He doesn't really play much in the way of wide receiver, and he makes a decent amount of money. Why to keep him?
Wouldn't you want to keep him going into camp, though, just for numbers and in case somebody gets hurt? Like, if Kenneth Gainwell pops a hammy in the second week of training camp, I think you'd want to have Patterson around as an insurance policy.
Do you find an equivalent of Cordarrelle Patterson on the free agency market looking for a job?
Maybe. I mean, look, there will be guys out there. There still are, aren't there? So maybe that's the way they look at it. I just don't think it hurts. I don't think they have to race to cut Cordarrelle Patterson right now. Maybe they do it for him so that he can get a gig going into somebody's camp. Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. Is Cordarrelle Patterson at the point in his career where you do that for a guy like him, where you go, hey, listen, we'd love to keep you around to have some depth during camp, just in case somebody gets hurt, but we're going to be honest with you, you're not making the club, so yeah, go find a job somewhere else.
He's smart enough to know the numbers. He's smart enough to know how much he gets paid. And okay, that makes him very expendable, right?
Okay.
He probably should go up to them and say, cut me, right?
Maybe he will.
I'm trying to see how much, unless he's already been told that.
You're trying to, how much is the old Cordarrelle Patterson getting paid this year?
2.8 million in bone base, cap hit 3.75.
Yeah, so not a lot of money in current NFL terms.
Yeah, you cut him, you lose, save $1 million.
Yeah, so cut him, save the mill, and let him go find a gig elsewhere. Okay, I can see that line of reasoning.
Yeah, you got Gainwell. Who else did they bring in? Plus, they got John.
Well, I would think the four in the room now are going to be Jaylen Warren, Caleb Johnson, Kenneth Gainwell, and Trey Sermon. Like, that's...
Well, and you got... I forget his name. Good the job. Guy that last year that played for a little bit was the teacher.
That doesn't help me at all.
Man, I'm not good with names, especially guys that never play.
You might want to get that together. You might want to get something looked
at. I usually don't pay attention to guys that I know aren't going to make the team and or produce.
You're talking about the guy making the team. So maybe you should have paid more attention to his name.
You have to understand, I have limited brain capability here. So
you said that, not me. Jonathan Ward, Aaron Champlin,
Jonathan
Evan Hull.
Jonathan Ward.
Okay.
I could see him being – I'd keep him at five more than Patterson.
Okay. Yeah, because Patterson, it just replicates a lot of what you already have on the roster between Gainwell and kick returners that you already have.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't see where he fits in at right now. I mean, you've got Austin returning punts, Gainwell, punts, kicks.
Who else is returning kicks and punts? Come on. More people without names?
I don't know. I'm looking at the roster.
I mean, it's Gainwell and Austin. That's about it, I would think, on return men. Unless there's somebody else coming out as a surprise that we don't know about who's going to be back there returning kicks. That's a possibility.
Marvin Leal?
Probably, yeah. Jack Sawyer.
He probably could do it, right?
Could you imagine? People would lose their minds. Jack Sawyer back there, no fair catches. Man, he'd come right up the middle on that thing, just looking to hit people. You remember who was the running back that used to talk about how he would, when it wasn't Buss, it was somebody else, they would look to make contact with D-backs. That's what Jack Sawyer, like, drive their shoulder into guys. That's what Jack Sawyer would be. He'd be looking to run over would-be tacklers.
Yeah, he wouldn't care about anything else, just hitting somebody.
Just hitting people. And hopefully hold on to the ball.
Yeah, you know, Justin's asking who a kick returner is. I mean, what is a kick returner? Or who is it? Well, they did change the rules a little bit that might come into play more this year. So
they keep saying that. Can I tell you something? NFL kickers are too good that they're going to find a way to – they're going to cough and corner the thing, or, you know, some coaches will just tell them kick it through the end zone. We don't care. Let them – what are they going to start at the 35 now? On touchbacks,
do that anymore.
I mean, they don't care. They don't want to, for whatever reason, chance the possibility of a kickoff return. And so they don't care. Until you put the touchback at like the 40, it's not going to change things, I don't think.
They moved it back a little bit. Didn't they move it back 5 yards?
Well, they moved the kick spot back 5 yards, yeah, right? And didn't they move the touchback out farther too?
It allows you to potentially have more returns, but we thought that last year too. So
yeah, and it didn't do anything. I mean, an incremental rise in returns.
Yeah, I mean, the kickers and punters are so good that, I mean, the hang times, how many punts do you actually see returned? Just a different
hardly
game.
Ever. Who's the kid they drafted from CMU? Justin wants to know who's a kick returner. That's what he's talking
about. Well, if you have to ask that, Justin, he's not any good.
Wait, CMU like Central Michigan, he has to mean, right? That was the kid they drafted late, right? Dante Kent?
Yeah, maybe it was him. Don't forget about Ben Skoranek.
Ben Skoranek. But anyway, I the point we were making here is that there's nothing Cordarrelle Patterson does that means they have to keep Cordarrelle Patterson around. He had that one nice drive against the Colts. You remember that? Was it against the Colts, I think?
It might have been the Lions in the preseason.
No. He had, remember, there was like week three or week four.
Yeah, three or four catches.
Najee went to the sideline, and it was a Patterson drive. And he had like six carries on one drive, and he looked like a beast on that one drive. And then
did he get hurt?
Yeah, I think so.
Was that when he got hurt? Yeah, he wasn't much of a fan of speaking to the media, so I couldn't even tell you if I ever did talk to him.
Oh, well, that's a shame. I feel like if he would have gotten to know you, he would have been excited to hear stories about how you ordered prom dates from the Yellow Pages.
Yellow Pages. I'm sure there are. I'm sure there's a possibility. Isn't that called OnlyFans now?
I'm sure he would have been ecstatic to hear about how you cut yourself with the weed whacker.
I didn't cut myself. I just whacked myself.
After you found your prom date in the Yellow Pages? Did a little whacking, huh?
I mean, half the people watching.
A whacking kaboom?
Nobody even knows what
the Yellow Pages found that date in the Yellow Pages. Found the OnlyFans, started whacking.
Yeah, it hurt too.
I bet. You whack too much, it will hurt.
You ever use the trimmer and you hit it rock and it hits you in the shin? It's
like, oh, that's the worst. Thanks to our good friends at Impact HVAC. It's getting warm out there. Make sure you get your AC tuned up and looked at before you need to use it a whole bunch this summer. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook, or give them a call, 412-297-1852. Tony and the boys, they'll take care of you. Make sure that if something's broke, it gets fixed. If it's not broke, they make sure it doesn't go broke. You know what I mean? Because they will take care of you, getting everything maintained and ready for what I'm sure will be a steamy summer in southwestern Pennsylvania. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. We want to thank them for being sponsors as well of Cabali and Mac. All right. So your boss, Pat McAfee, our friend, he got the hell beat out of him on Saturday night, didn't he?
Oh, he stood
in there and took it. He stood in there toe-to-toe with Gunther. I'll give him mad respect for taking some chops. You saw how red that chest was afterwards.
Yeah, not only that, I mean, you're in front of 18,000 people. It's something you've done like four times in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Against that, I mean, you got to have some cañones doing that. So I'm not quite sure where this storyline is heading or if it's dead. Maybe
I think it's done.
I don't know. Then why would they do it?
Well, the interesting
philosophy. Unless Pat just said, I want to wrestle.
Well, no, and I thought the same thing Saturday night. I was like, that wasn't much of a payoff, was it? No offense to Pat. Again, like you said, he went in there and he went toe to toe with a former heavyweight champ for, that was a good, 12 to 15 minutes. And so nothing against the match itself, but the storyline feels like it's kind of hit a dead end now. So the theory other people floated, including our good friend, King of the Pocket Square, Josh Taylor, who I mentioned I was talking to this weekend. He thinks it might just be some good go-home heat for Gunther. He disappears for a while because they've been talking about him taking some time off. Gunther disappears for a while.
Don't pat him on the head and say, I respect you after you beat the hell out of him.
That seemed like a little sort of disingenuous respect. I didn't quite
give him a noogie. Almost gave him a noogie.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Good job, kid.
So I think Gunther, he could be taking some time off. This is a good way to disappear him for a while, for lack of a better word.
Take the summer off, at SummerSlam.
Come back at SummerSlam and shock the world at whoever he goes after, right?
Cody, maybe?
Maybe.
Hey, what about Cena, man? Is there any possibility it's like a Saturday Night Main Event coming up here in a week or two? Little R-Truth action. I mean, why is he even involved? So you saw
as well, Cena, for those that didn't,
there has to be something
in the post-show interview. Cena gave R-Truth comes out in the middle of Cena's media conference and interrupts him to tell him how happy he was for him that he won, even though people are saying you suck and you can't wrestle. And Cena jumps up and gives R-Truth an attitude adjustment right through the table. I don't know. Yeah, are we really going to build a PLE main event or a Raw main event around Cena against R-Truth? No disrespect to Ron Killings.
Imagine R-Truth winning. Even, albeit like for like one match or
that'd whatever. Be amazing.
There'd be a turn match the next day.
But I don't know, like, other than going step by step, month through month, and I imagine we'll probably get some kind of inkling on Raw tonight about who the next opponent will be for Cena. You know, maybe it's Punk. I don't know. I'm sure they've got a list of guys they'd love to give him one more swing at before he leaves. I don't know what the end game is. Like, because Cody's going to be back in the next couple weeks. He's got to stand up at some point and come back after Cena for the title, I would think. I don't know. It kind of feels like it's running out of gas about 6 months too soon, the whole Cena storyline.
I don't know how many more appearances he has scheduled. It's not a ton.
Like, I don't think. Low 20s, I think. Yeah, probably like 22, 23.
Over 7 months.
I mean, if the best way for him to go out would be handing the belt back to someone at preferably Cody, I would think, at like Survivor Series. But again, you're talking about that's 6 months away still.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're going to do for the intervening 6 months other than have him go
R-Truth
step by step. He can't have a 6 month run against R-Truth.
R-Truth?
Ron's 50, isn't he?
I'm saying that like a one off.
Oh, a one. Yeah, veterans? It's not a PLE though. Like, he's 53, R-Truth. Like, well, you're not going to have a
good for 53.
So here's the way I would structure it, because everybody cares what I think. I would have R-Truth and Cena. Am I keeping you up? Are you okay?
I'm tired. I got the yawns going on today.
You do. Jesus.
Some of us wake up early, unlike you, Mr.
Have a cup of coffee. I got up at 6:30 this morning, and then my kid's bus almost never came. Until like 7:20, it didn't come. Anyway, nobody cares about that. You have Cena and R-Truth just do it tonight on Raw. And then somebody runs out, saves R-Truth from Cena. Again, I don't know who it would be. Maybe it's Miz. Maybe this is your 1 month of Miz Cena. No, because, yep, Miz comes out, saves R-Truth maybe. I don't know. Just an idea. Just a thought. The other thing that we have to mention is Sabu. Mentioned it off the top. ECW legend Sabu passed away over the weekend. I think he was only, what was he, only 60, wasn't he?
60.
Yeah.
I think he just had a match not long ago.
He did. Yeah. He was still doing work overseas and I think still doing some indie stuff, but that's got to be like an instant induction into the WWE Hall of Fame next year, right? I would think.
Yeah, they have been needing some people. I mean, they've been, I don't want to say scraping the bottom of the barrel or anything, but it seems like they're running out of but guys to put in. I mean, headliners. I don't know if Sabu would be a headliner, but
I mean,
did he ever really participate in WWE? If it was, it was brief.
It was very brief. And he did participate in the reborn ECW in like the mid 2000s, which was under the WWE umbrella at that point. So, look, he's a WWE Hall of Famer. Like, I think Matt Hardy said it yesterday when the announcement was made. Like, without Sabu, you don't have TLC matches. You don't have some of the crazy high-flying stuff that the Hardys and Edge and Christian. Think of the influence he had even just in ECW on Rob Van Dam, on the Dudley Boys. Like, without Sabu putting people through barbed wire chairs and tables, I don't know, and ECW becoming accepted mainstream then, I don't know if you ever get mainstream acceptance of all that crazy hardcore stuff that has become a part of WWE and really was the hardcore stuff. They had a whole hardcore belt for almost a decade that was so crucial to the Attitude Era and even coming out of the Attitude Era.
I'm trying to look and see. I don't know if he ever... yeah, he has.
Has what?
He was hired by WWE as a part of their new third brand, a rebooted version of ECW.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. The when they quote-unquote brought back ECW in the mid-2000s, yeah. He was a part of that.
I mean, they pretty much own everything, so, I mean, I would imagine, I don't know about right away, but I'm sure he will be in.
Next year, right? I mean, we've got almost a full calendar year, 11 months until the next WWE Hall of Fame induction. I would think he has to be in it. Because like I said, none of that stuff.
I'll tell you who needs to be in if we're talking this. The great Haku Meng, whatever name you want to talk about, he needs to be in.
I mean.
Come on.
I guess. But like you're talking about there not being any big name Hall of big name main eventers. I don't know if Haku Meng in WCW is necessarily like, I mean, okay, we can do it if you want, but like that's not one that jumps off the page at me.
I don't know. I'm thinking if somebody said to you, is Haku in the Hall of Fame, you'd probably say, yeah, probably.
I'd probably say exactly what I just said about him going in, which would be, I guess. Like, I don't know if there's any more borderline. This is like when people talk about, I know how to set you off. When people talk about Hines Ward in the Hall of Fame, it's like, yeah, I guess.
And he like,
I guess.
He bit a nose off of a guy in the airport. I mean, just for that, he deserves to be in.
And he's got two kids in the WWE now too, right?
I think, yeah.
Tama Tonga and Tonga Lower are both his kids.
I think they're, might be step kids. I'm not quite sure. He refers to him as her dad. I'm not quite sure exactly with Tonga Loa, Tama Longa.
Tama Longa?
Kaluo. He's coming, whatever his name is. I think he's coming here soon as well. Ain't no Bob Cobb. Wait.
Bob Cobb.
Every time I see that four-way, Jeff Cobb. I'm thinking, I know, but I'm Bob Cobb from Seinfeld.
Yes.
Bob.
What else did you like or not like about Backlash before we wrap this up so you can go?
I guess Becky should have won.
She should have won?
I mean, come on, man.
You don't like Lyra. That's the problem.
She's come in and she's beat like every single star there is already. She's beaten like Bayley. She's beaten obviously Becky. Who's she beat the other day? Rhea. I mean, she's beating everybody. I don't know if she beat Rhea.
But she didn't beat Rhea.
She beat somebody of high note recently.
Look, that whole thing is just angling towards Becky against Bayley at SummerSlam. So just.
It wasn't. This PLE wasn't.
It felt like a Raw. I'll be honest. It wasn't.
Honestly, we all look at PLEs and we think, okay, if there's not a run in, not a backstab or something, it's no good.
Our standards are very high. That's what you're saying. And that's okay.
In the PLEs, you don't see a ton of that. It's usually the culmination, whatever that word is.
Culmination?
Of something rather than a jumping off a point or something. But every PLA, you're like, oh, this guy's coming back, and this guy's coming back, and this guy's coming back. And it's just straight, chalk, so to speak. And you're like,
I will say two things that I took away that I really liked Saturday night. One, Dom is still Intercontinental Champ due to El Grande Americano interference, which I think is building towards an El Grande Americano Penta mask versus mask match at
some
point.
They should do El Grande Americano versus Chad Gable. That would be really
cool. That may happen along the way here, which I think would be great. And then also, I keep saying this. I'm going to clip this and put it out on social media. So it's bring back the hardcore belt and give it to Drew McIntyre. Please. That man beats the shit out of himself at every PLE. He goes back spine first into metal steps. He goes into thumbtacks. He gets dropped into a table by Damian Priest this past weekend, which, by the way, that was the best part of that whole four-way match. The two of them going at it. He is not there. That man has, to quote his one-time partner, Sheamus, banger after banger after banger, Drew McIntyre. He never, never leaves in good shape. He beats the hell out of himself. Mm-hmm. Get the man a belt. I don't care if it's the U.S. title, but I'd rather see them bring back the hardcore title and give it to Drew McIntyre and just make him the beast that rips through everybody and beats the hell out of him in hardcore match.
You know, we have a certain view of the hardcore belt with the Foleys and the Bob Hollies. So Netflix right now scrubs swear words. So we want them to really bring a hardcore where they're beating each other over the head with, you know, barbed wire. I just don't see it. It would have to be a different
the matches that McIntyre
would have to be
had
a scaled down version of the hardcore belt.
I don't think it would. And you have Travis Scott walking out there with this fake hardcore belt. I mean, I think it would be hilarious if Travis Scott walked out one night at a PLE or a Monday Night Raw and Drew McIntyre beat the hell out of him and took the belt from him and said, "Oh, if you're not giving me a belt, I'll just take one myself."
If I don't see Travis Scott in the ring ever again, I will be, not sad.
I know. Quick reminder before we wrap up here, and thanks so much for hanging out with us today. We will do another episode tomorrow where we will predict the 2025 Pittsburgh Steelers schedule. Kaboom's going to do all kinds of homework, or at least pretend like he did, and come up with a week-by-week prediction of what the Steelers schedule will look like. Who knows? We may get some leaks before we do the show that nail a couple spots down. Also, if you are not yet subscribed, be one of the next 200 or 200 or so subscribers. When we get to 1,500 subscribers on the Kabali and Mac YouTube channel, we will give away an autographed Pat Freiermuth Penn State helmet waiting for you. All you got to do is get subscribed on YouTube today. Actually, we're up over 1,300. We've added just 10 in the hour that we were sitting here yapping. Woo! So be one of the next 199.
Grandparents, tell your grandpaps, create fake YouTube accounts.
Don't create fake YouTube accounts. Don't tell people to do that.
We get to that number any way possible. What do I care? Tell your grandmother, tell your kid.
Tell your grammy, tell your mammy, tell your uncle. So that being said, go get subscribed if you haven't yet. Kaboom, go take a nap, and we'll talk again tomorrow morning, okay? Does that sound good for you? Why are you waving the red flag? You throwing a challenge?
Challenge flag.
I'm throwing a challenge on you getting a prom date out of the yellow pages. Have a great one, everybody. Mm-hmm.